is a good example. Anyway, today my sermon title is Let the Light Shine Through You. Let the light shine through you. I read this little brief reflection or thought on the writer, the person who had done this great hymn that we all love, the Messiah, the composer of the Messiah. Handel was, they said he was dodged with misfortune, that he had debt upon debt, despair upon despair. He had cerebral hemorrhage and was paralyzed on his right side. For 4 years, he could neither walk nor write. The doctors gave up on him. He wrote several operas, but again, he fell into debt. At age 60, some say 60 or 63, he thought his life was finished. Then he was challenged by a friend to write the sacred hymn, oratorio. He read the scriptures and decided to work on the Messiah. For 24 days, without eating a crumb, he worked fanatically to produce the Messiah, which many today consider the greatest oratorio ever written. This man who had gone through all of that was a brilliant composer, yet for that one moment, something would happen. And he would write this hymn that we sing at Christmas time when we remember, and it's so wonderful and it makes you feel like you're in heaven. For us, we may not write anything like that. You're not gifted to do that. And so this little hymn, this little song that we sing, that the children sing, that says, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I am going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And do you know we have many verses to that song all over the world, I'm gonna let it shine. But there's one that says, hide it under the bushel. No, the kids always shout, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under the bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. And then there's a verse that we don't have the kids sing that says, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now, depending on the source, the song may take its theme from Matthew 5:16, which says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Alternatively, it may refer to the words of Jesus in Luke 11:33, where he said, no one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Or it may be based on Matthew 5:14-15, where Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Today on Transfiguration Sunday, as we remember the transfiguration of the Lord, we want to talk about the light of Christ in our lives. There is transfiguration, and there is transformation. Transfiguration is said to be a complete change of form or appearance into a more spiritual state, a more kind of glorious state, transfiguration. And transformation is also said to be a change in form, appearance, nature, or character. That's now where we get the difference. Transfiguration tends to be external. You see that person change before your eyes, like Jesus was going to be changed before the eyes of his disciples. He looked different. The glorious light of God was shining upon him, and shining through him. But transformation speaks of not just an outward appearance, but an inward change. It's a change of character. So I'd like to submit to you today that Jesus was transfigured. We know he was transfigured. The guys were up there with him, the three of them. They saw him transfigured, and there was Moses and Elijah, the text says, and he was changed in appearance. His glory, he looked like something that they hadn't seen before because he was getting ready for his journey into Jerusalem. But for you and me, we don't get transfigured. We are always or should be in the process of transformation. When we accept the light of Christ into our lives, we are then in the process to our whole life going through transformation, or should be, being changed, not just from outside. The only way the light of Christ is going to be changed, is going to be shining through us, if transformation is happening in our hearts. John Wesley would call it a sanctified life, sanctification, being changed day by day until we go home to be with the Lord. And so we see three texts today that all ties together. We see a human transfiguration, a human person being changed in Moses. The scripture tells us Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and as he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. That means the moment he began to talk with God, something happened to Moses and he was changed. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining and they were afraid to come near him. Once you get into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, something has to happen. Something happens to us. Are we going to get that same thing happen to us like Moses, a burning bush experience? No, not necessarily, and we ought not want to have that. I'm going to expound on that in a minute. And then now we go up on the mountain to discover Christ in all of his glory. We are told that on that occasion, the occasion of the transfiguration of Christ, probably that it took place on Mount Hermon, which is a very high mountain. It's about 9,166 feet, and it's located in Caesarea Philippi. Now, if you ever get to Israel, one of the sites you go to is the Mount of Transfiguration. And it winds all the way up, and what they do is, if you go in a big group, they put you in small little cars, these little tiny Israeli cars, and you go up in stages because the roads are so small. Yet those men walked up. When you get to the top of it, you cannot believe that they walked it in those days all the way to the top of that mountain. 8 days they went and Jesus was transfigured. And the men, the story tells us, it begins like this. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and they went up onto the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah. Now that's amazing because you know what? Moses had gone up to the mountain to talk to God. His skin and his face had become light. He wasn't transfigured as Christ where the whole of his glory showed, but his face changed. And Elijah, you know the story. He did not die a physical death. He was what? Taken up in a chariot, right? To meet God. He was taken up in chariot. Remember, Elisha would see him and call out to him as he was being lifted up into heaven to see God. So those three, the story tells us, were there. And they appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure. So now we see the Old Testament, of talking to God, Moses talking to God and being changed. We see Jesus, God in flesh, his glory showing those men, the disciples who had to serve him, they were the one who would be going through the transformation, and Jesus gave them a glimpse of his glory, what he could yet do. And then we get to Corinthians, and we see Paul here speaking to the church at Corinth, and he reminds them here in this text, he reminds them that it is no longer like Moses' time, when you had to put a veil over your face to go talk to God. We no longer have to do that because of Christ. We don't have to put a veil. We talk to God here every Sunday. You talk to God all the time in your homes. You go to God. You don't need any veil. You could come in a sneakers. You could come in a pair of shorts. No, we don't want to come naked and all of that because we respect God. And we should revere God. And we come in reverence to God because we love and adore Him and honor Him. So we should come with some respect. But we don't have to put a veil on. We're not shut out. We could talk to God anytime. That's what Apostle Paul is trying to tell the church, that it's no longer the old covenant. It has been changed. Our relationship with God has been changed. We have access to God through Jesus Christ, and we can speak to God at any time. And so that is what the Lord by His Spirit gave you and me, this new relationship, this transfigured Christ who would die for us, who would come into His glory. He would die on the cross, then be resurrected, and then ascended into heaven, as we get to learn, would give us this new relationship with God that we could go to the throne of grace and mercy at any given time. Thanks be to God for that. And then when we know Him in our relationship with Him, we are then going through the process, or should be going through the process, of transformation. Be changed inside out. It's no use being changed. I could put on a lot of makeup. Susan is all made up today, and she looks lighter than she normally does, but she's not transfigured or transformed just because of her makeup, right? Whatever is going on in her heart is that's going in her heart, right? That kind of light that is unique to Christian believers. And so today, I want to then bring this home to us so that we understand that we should let the light of Christ shine through us. Now, I want to share this with you as I come down and bring it home to us, because I think the mistake for us as Christians, many times, those of us who are ordinary people, like me, like all of us, ordinary people, we sometimes believe that the light of Christ is not working in us. You know, we hear big stories. There are big stories about people who see God and see Jesus, and their conversion to seeing Jesus is huge. It makes books, and it's on YouTube, and it's on Twitter, and it's huge. You know, they were killers or murderers or whatever they were, and they saw Jesus, and they see the light of Jesus, or they see something, or they see whatever, and they get their burning bush experience. Frankly, some of them get a tree burning. Whatever it is, it's big. And because of that, we who don't get that experience or who doesn't see it, we minimize the fact that our journeys are different and that God works through all of us differently. The mistake we make is that we spend our lives comparing our journeys to other people. And we miss the mark of serving Christ in our own unique way. We feel, we say, oh, you know, I didn't know Jesus this way. Somebody else said know Jesus that way when they saw Jesus. Oh, I wish I had that experience that they had, because I didn't have that experience. And it in itself can be a sin. It in itself can be the biggest mistake we make, because whichever way God chose to use you or me, is that that's the way He chose to use us. We're not all going to have the Damascus Road experience. We're not all going to be blinded by light, and we don't want to be blinded by light. If truth be told, we have to remember that our journeys are different and unique, and when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, the light of Christ is in us, and we must let the light of Christ shine through, and we do it when we serve God and we serve Jesus Christ in every little thing we do in the name of Jesus Christ. Many of us are sitting waiting. He says, if I don't get this thing, I don't know what thing we're trying to get. If I don't get this big major thing, I can't serve Christ. Now, how is the Church of Jesus Christ going on if little ordinary people had not been serving Christ for years? Ordinary human beings. Well, this church wouldn't be here, or any church. Those Sunday school teachers just teaching the word who never hear from anybody. But they tell the word, and Christian men and women are made, and babies are made, missionaries who go to the darkest part of the world, and little things, little nuggets of truth are spread about Christ, and lives are changed, and nobody know about them, yet still they're making a difference, because that's their journey. Paul said to Timothy, and I want to encourage you this morning, do not minimize your relationship with Jesus Christ, because it doesn't look like somebody else's relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't do it. It is a mistake, and it's an offense to God. Whatever way he chooses to use you, how small or big, he's God. And he wants, and that's why we choose. And Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, I know you know the Lord, and your faith has been built, because you heard from your grandma Lois and your mother Eunice. You heard the word from them. You know the Lord. How many of us have heard the word from our grandparents? We came to Sunday school the first time from our grandparents. All right, I don't need to have a life that I never went to church till I was 40. I don't need to see any bigger light than I did. My mama took me to church, and her mama before her took her to church. And maybe I just heard one whisper every Sunday, I didn't want to go, and she says, you got to go. You got to go. That planted a seed in my heart just like it planted in all your hearts. And maybe I don't have a big flash lightning coming. God knows I couldn't take it. I'd probably have a heart attack. And maybe I just got one touch in my soul that says, serve God, like all of you. But that's what makes the church. The big stories we hear on TV, it's on all over the place, but it's the little story that makes the church. Do not. So, as you look at this text, there is Moses. It's a big story, Moses. He's going to see, it's going to be the Mount of Transfiguration, and then he's going to have the burning bush, and look what happened with him. But there's Peter, James, and John. They all had different stories. Don't you? Different, unique story. Peter, the fisherman, who was not educated, who would do whatever he had to do to make a living, and then he would spread the gospel up to a certain time before Paul took over. James, that we has his one book, couple of books in the Bible. And he would end up going over to India and spread the word there. That was what God had called him to do. And John, who would be exiled at Patmos, but would write Revelation and the letters, the three letters and the Gospel of John. God would use them. And then there was Paul. Paul, who had been a murderer and a killer, he was killing Jews. His transformation had to be used because he had been a killer. He had been murdering people, and God would speak to him differently. But there was one man, Ananias. Ananias, who we never hear about. We were reading in our book on Wednesday night Bible study. We never heard about Ananias again. Adam Hamilton says here, as I get to our place in history, he says, notice that Paul's conversion was a result both of his experience of Christ and of Ananias sharing with him. Ananias, remember that name, one man. Don't have a book in the Bible. Don't have a big story. But God would use him. He says, this is how it often works. Most of us don't have a Damascus Road blinding light conversion. But we do experience Christ in some way. We feel him speaking to us. We sense his love. We feel moved. We feel moved to say yes, but we also have our Ananiases who come alongside to offer us Christ. We never again hear about Ananias in the Bible. He courageously stepped up, went to Paul, and shared Christ with him, and as a result, the world was changed. My sisters and brothers, this morning, be mindful that every little thing you do for Christ counts. Every person who does the ushering, you're saying yes to Christ. That's the way he's choosing to use you now in your life. The Sunday school teachers who teach, the choir members who sing. They sing a song, we hear a word. Today they remind us about the communion table, what it means to us to gather around the table. They come, they give up their time. People read the scriptures, we read, we work in the We are doing, we are being used by God. Do not spend your life unhappy or feeling less than because you don't have a big story to put on the front page of the New York Times about your journey. Because God knows your journey and is using you. He has defined it and decided it for us. He knows every one of us by name. Every hair in our head, he says he knows. And he's using us for the building up of the kingdom. And for many of us, nobody will ever hear anything about us but the local church. But guess what? Heaven knows. And what the gifts and graces we have that we use for him, that's our call. That's the call on our life. And let's stop wasting our time trying to minimize what God has given us. If your grandmama took you to Sunday school when you were born as a baby and that's how you learned God and you accept Christ and you're still here, and you're 70 years old and you're still here, thanks be to God that something wonderful happened that day. Come on now, church. You might not have seen a blinding light, right? God knows you couldn't take the blinding light. But a grandmama brought you in and says, come to church. And you didn't understand, like these little children who come, their parents have been bringing them. And the God is now using them. The Spirit of the Lord is using them. They come and they stand there sometimes and they tell us little nuggets. They tell us little stories, don't they? Makes us smile and then let us remember Jesus, doesn't it? They talk about the scroll today. This is the light of Christ that is working in them. And so instead of spending our life trying to get a big light like somebody else's big light, and be careful, because with other people's light come their problems. Do you know that? If you get my light, you're going to get my problem. And you do not want to have my weight problem. With get my light, you get my problem. You just want your light, the light of Christ to come through you and for God to use you. And so our prayer should be, our daily prayer should be before God is when we get up off our, when we pray to the Lord, use me, use what I have to glorify you in whichever way. Use what I have. Is it serving to the food pantry? Use whatever I have. Singing the choir? Use whatever I have. Huh? Give up my tithes and offering, be an usher, be a communion steward, be an altar girl. Be a liturgist, be someone who reads in the pulpit, serve the communion. Use God what I have to glorify him. There's no comparison. So let the light of Christ shine through you. Do not waste your time. I could tell you a big story about my light. I could make it up that it would win an Academy Award and it probably wouldn't be true. I could just make it huge because I want it to be bigger than the next person. You could tell me how big your light is, and when I get done telling y'all when I saw Jesus how big it is, you'd be shocked. You would say, my God, they need to crucify her. She's Christ. Right? Because I could make my story so big that people would tremble. Do not. The Lord has said this to me clearly. Because I've heard this here before and over, when my story is not like this, when I didn't get to know Christ like this, it bothers me terrible. Because we are then saying what God is doing in our lives through Jesus Christ is not good enough. It is good enough for you. It's good enough for you. It's good enough for you. That's how he chooses to use you. And I thank God that God chooses each and every one of you in your own unique way. To come to this church, to serve in this church, to give up your tithes and offering in this church, to do whatever you do in this church. I am so thankful. Because the church of Jesus Christ would never continue if it was not ordinary people doing simple tasks every day. Every day. Barnabas. We hear no more so much about Barnabas, but he was the one who would go with Paul to a certain journey. There's not a book in the Bible about Barnabas. There's a woman in the Bible who sewed the clothes. You know, for the disciples, you know the story. Acts of the Apostles tells you they made the tunics and the clothes. They're the women who followed Jesus. They're men who did whatever. They served in the church. We don't know their name, but thanks be to God that Christ used them. Huh? They said there were hundreds of them serving in the early church.
dying, the martyrs who died for the Lord so that we could now be church. Be thankful for how God is using. If you're singing in the choir, you've said yes to God. That's how God chooses to use you. Thanks be to God. That's how you know Him. That's how you experience Him. And that's how you are glorifying Him through that gift. Don't beat up on yourself. Stop comparing. And thank God for your experience of Him. And glorify Him. So today, I come to encourage you that each and every one of us here is important to Christ. And each and every one of us is important to the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? Each and every one of us. One body, many members. Let Christ light. And so when Jesus was transfigured to those men, He wanted them to know. And as Paul says, let His light shine through us. Not just on our face, but through our hearts. Through our eyes. So those will see it and know Christ. So church, rejoice in knowing that the Lord is in you. His light is in you. And He chooses to use you. Whatever you're doing in the church or for the church, that the Lord has chosen to use you in whatever task. That's a gift. Thanks be to God that He has chosen to use you and to use me. For whatever it is, if it's to pick up garbage around the church, thanks be to God. If it's to sweep the floors, thanks be to God. Whatever it is. If it's to visit the sick, thanks be to God. If it's to teach a child, thanks be to God. Whatever it is, so the doors of the church can be open, thanks be to God. And I thank God for you and your ministry here. Let His light shine through you.